The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial to paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website app owners and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of AppMasters.com, and my voice is slowly recovering, but making its way back to normalcy. But this year, I really wanted to get really, really good with user acquisition, and mainly Meta, TikTok. I had some experience in those, but I never felt like I was a huge expert. And this guest that we're about to bring on, he shares some amazing content on LinkedIn, and I was like, David, you got to come on and let me learn from you. And so we're going to talk all about the different ad channels that you should start off with, how to test out new creatives, and if you're at a certain scale in your ad performance, well, we're going to talk all about Scan 4.0. So the theme of the show is all about how not to waste your money, because you can. So let me introduce the guest. His name is David Vargas. He is an experienced UA and ASO expert and a great follow on LinkedIn. I'll share his LinkedIn profile. It's already in the description. He's managed over 85 apps across multiple categories, and he's managed over $10 million in ad spend. So without further ado, here is David Vargas. David, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Steve. Hey, everyone. I mean, it's a real pleasure to be here. I already posted that on LinkedIn, and I think it's a fair trade, to be honest. If you can learn something from me, because I've been learning from you since I started in the industry. So yeah, it's a real honor, already a milestone in my career even. So thank you for inviting me, for having me here. Let's talk about all the topics that you want to discover regarding UA. Just to give you a bit of my background, I am from Spain, from the south, a city called Malaga, but yeah. Currently I'm living in Madrid. I've been working in the app industry for the last 6 years. I was like quite lucky because I could work with so many apps, more than 85 the last time I counted them. Currently working as a freelancer at Splitmetrics, and I also have my own projects. So yeah, it has been a crazy ride over the last 3 years, you know, with the pandemic and so on. But now everything is starting to go up again, and that's super nice. So yeah, let's do it. I'm super excited, and thank you again.
Thank you for being here. George is here. Russ is here. Thank you, Russ. You're the first one. I should do something for the first comment ever. Rob is here. Louise. And then Kalpesh. Adrian. He's from Ireland. My marketing budget is about $200. So sure, need all the help I can. And then we got D8 as well. Well, let's start with this slide, David, because you know, you and I, we talked about this before we hit record. But the number one question we get is typically like, where should we start? What ad channel should we start off with? So David did me a favor and put this together for just us, but let's break this down, this visual that you put together for us.
Yeah, I think that's the classical question that all UA professionals have ever heard at least once in their career. And yeah, I've been asked this question too many times. So I decided to like build a quick graphic just to tell the people how I usually approach this this question. So, I mean, the graphic is quite simple. As you can see, before starting to dip into the both platforms, Android and iOS, I have to talk about tracking solutions. And that's a must. I mean, before investing any single cent in any channel, you need to build a data framework that tells you how your paid campaigns are doing. If you don't have enough resources, if you have like $200 per month for the budget, you need to at least build like a manual report with an Excel sheet. And that's possible with the consoles as well. So there are solutions for everyone. There are solutions for all kind of budgets. My favorite one, if I can tell you my personal take here, is working with an MMP, because I can have everything in the same place. MMPs are like platforms that basically track the paid campaign performance. But there are other solutions that I put there, and they are for free. For example, Firebase, which is a great solution as well, or the Facebook SDK, in case you are interested on running campaigns there. The Excel sheet analysis is something that you can do with the data from the consoles, with the Play Console and App Store Connect. And then the last option will be the internal VI, which is something more complex, because you will need data professional to pull the data into a personalized dashboard, right? And then when you build the tracking solution for you, you have to think about the channels, right? That's the most classical question. So I divided them between Android and iOS, as you can see, and I put them in order in terms of how good they are for each platform. So according to my experience, after running campaigns for more than 85 apps, I am 95% sure that Google Ads is your best shot for Android. That's for sure. And that is like because of a simple reason, right? Because Google talks better to Google. That's the simple reason here. So normally that's what I recommend. Then the second place will be for Meta, because they also have endless data points to target the relevant users for your app. Mm-hmm. And in the last place is TikTok, which is a newer channel, as you can know already at this point. TikTok is like, I mean, they emerge like quite abrupt way. I would say that they just passed from zero to millions of spend in just a couple of years. That was crazy. But they don't have still like the same technology than, for example, Meta in terms of data, in terms of how efficient the algorithm is when it comes to targeting relevant users for your app, right? Yeah. So that will be my order. That will be what I will run in any case for any app. It doesn't matter if it's like a mobile game or if it's like a subscription app. That's my setup. Then we have to talk about the types of campaigns, because normally, across all the channels, it doesn't matter. All the channels that allow app promotion normally have three types of campaigns. First one, My, which is mobile app install campaigns, classic one to bring more installs to your stores. Second, app event optimization. Those are campaigns that are focusing on a specific event. In that case, it can be purchase, it can be a tutorial complete, it can be, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. We have the deepest campaign that you can run in any channel, which is value optimization campaign. This campaign is targeting and looking for the highest valuable users. So when you run that campaign, you normally get higher cost per install, much higher than in the mobile app install campaign, because the algorithm tries to bring the highest value, not only a paying user, but within the paying users, the most valuable ones. That's why those campaigns are normally the most expensive ones as well. So after explaining that, basically the setup that I follow is I start to feed the machine learning with mobile app install campaigns, because it's the cheapest way to start to see the events within your app. Of course, you have to import the events on the ad channels. So in this case, let's put an example with Google Ads. You have to import the events from the MMP or from Firebase to Google Ads in order to see them, in order to see, okay, those users that are coming from the paid campaigns are triggering those events, this event, this event, this event, and you can detect when and where you are having the biggest drop-off of users, right? Which is super useful information to know if your app is performing at the level that you are expecting, right? So that's the main first step that I do. Then I switch to app event optimization campaigns. Once I analyze the cheapest way, which is mobile app install, I switch to a deeper campaign based on a specific event that means high engagement. This can be, for example, a complete tutorial event in a mobile game, right? Because the user has already a high intention of playing your game. So you can expect that this user is having a better quality than the user that just installed the app. It's a different behavior.
Hey, David, if we can pause here a little bit too, and I want to break it down a little bit for those who are unfamiliar. So you start off a meta campaign, for example, with the mobile app install, you're testing out creatives, you're trying to meet the threshold here, the privacy threshold. And then is it within the same campaign or a different ad group? Like, how are you setting up, once it hits that threshold, how are you setting up the AEO, the app event optimization? Is it a new campaign, different ad group? How are you doing that specifically?
No, I always separate campaigns when they have different goals, because in those channels, the learnings are in the campaign level. The only channel that saves the learning in the app level is Apple Search Ads. So I always separate that because the learnings are in the campaign level. So I normally, I mean, depends on the platform, of course. For iOS, we are talking about privacy. So I normally recommend only mobile app install campaign because you need to reach a determined number of app installs per day, per campaign, and per app. So if you run a deeper campaign, like a campaign optimized by Tutorial Complete, let's put the same example, you will need to pay more per install. So you will need to put a higher daily budget to reach that privacy threshold. So in the beginning, always go with mobile app installs because you need less daily budget to see the post-install events. That's the reason.
And then remind me what AEM means. Those aren't familiar either.
That's... let me remind as well, it's like app event, aggregated event measurement. That's okay. A technology from Meta, which is basically a modeling technology. Meta has the limitation of a scan as well. So they are trying to cover those conversions that you cannot see because of a scan, and they estimate the installs and the conversions with the data that they have. That normally works with probabilistic attribution. You can research on internet probabilistic attribution, and there are like a lot of articles talking about that. It's just a way to estimate the real number that you will have if a scan didn't exist, right?
I see.
So that's the approach here. And Meta is the only channel that is having that technology. You also have Google Ads for iOS, which is also modeling installs and conversions. But I normally don't use Google Ads for iOS because recently I tested that and the results were not good at all.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because I think everything's different too. And the reason why I love David on Instagram, and I know people are asking, so I'll just, Russ says, would it be possible to download that board? Yes. And I'm going to link you to the LinkedIn post that David put together about this board in preparation for this call too. And then Rob Five Alive. And he said, wow, impressive. Thanks for putting this together, David. So you did say that too. David, the thing that I was going to ask you is, we did have one client where we ran a meta campaign using scan. And then we were using an MMP. So I don't know where that falls into. See, this is me learning from you. Okay. So we were using an MMP, and I won't say which MMP, but we were using an MMP to track everything. And then we're running with mobile app installs. Now we actually we got downloads, but we didn't get any conversions, and we could kind of see it going back to your thing. going into the platforms, right? The app refer, we can see in-app purchase, yep. sales by app refer. And we just didn't see, we saw the downloads, but we didn't see the conversions or the sales. So we switched to an AEO to go after subscription or trial starts. And we didn't, I don't know if we just missed the threshold, but what would you do in that scenario? Like, how would you dissect that? Is it, you just throw away Meta and be like, it's not a good platform? Or how do you figure this out, this puzzle?
No, I mean, if you don't have MMP and you want to work with like the data from the stores, like the app refer and the source type, which is the filter that you can work in both stores, what I normally do is I try to have a baseline of conversions and installs before activating any campaign. Okay, so this is my baseline of installs or my baseline of subscriptions, right? This is my baseline. Then I start the campaign. My baseline will go up. The difference between my initial baseline and my new baseline after activating the campaign is what I can attribute to the campaigns.
I see.
That's an estimation. That's not 100% accurate, but it still can help you. I watched the session that you had with Lucas yeah. Moscon, and he showed like a report which was super useful and was about that. He was like mixing all the data in a unique dashboard with bars, so you could see the daily subscriptions or purchases per day compared with the cost. So you can see how your business is going in overall. I mean, there are not miracles here. Either you work estimating data or you work with scan and MMP. I know that there are some people there who are like building their own scan dashboards. That's crazy because you really need to call the Apple API and then pull that data into a like a customized dashboard. That's why the MMP is super useful because you don't have to do all of that. They are doing that in the back end, right? So that's another option, and it's for free because calling the Apple API is free. But you need to know how to import that data into a cool dashboard, right? And I don't know if you know, Steve, but I don't know.
I don't know either, dude. I've been trying.
So that's the problem, you know. So we have to work with what we have, and at the moment in iOS we have those limitations. There's no other way.
Do you feel like when people are, because here's what I feel about Meta, and you tell me if I feel differently. Do you feel like there's a just like, I don't know, you throw a number out, David, but like you've managed over 10 million. And so like, do you feel like there's a minimum level of budget that you need to really test out Meta, like give it its full, your full opportunity, full possibility for Meta?
For mobile app install campaigns, I believe that the budget is minimum. But if you go with ROAS campaigns, you need to put a much higher daily budget. Like at least I would say to get really good performance, 500 per day. Like minimum. That's very minimum. Because ROAS campaigns work better when they have more money to reach the most valuable users. But obviously not everyone can like spend 500 a day, right? So that's why there are other types of campaigns.
500 a day for how long?
Well, ROAS campaigns, the longer the better. I mean, I normally take like, if after 1 month spending in a channel, I don't see like real chances of recovering the money at some point, like in less than 1 year, then I give up because it doesn't make sense to burn the money, right? I prefer to spend that money on, I don't know, improving my app, adding new features, collaborating with influencers, whatever. But the data is clear. I mean, if you have Android, then you have full visibility. For now, that's going to change very soon. But for now, we have visibility, right? Yeah. But for iOS, if after doing those estimations that we are mentioning, you are not reaching like the threshold that you need, then stop. Normally, I compare the app performance with the benchmarks that you can find on internet, like in terms of conversion rates, which is also like super useful to see if your app is more or less on the pace that it needs. But 1 month is the maximum I give to a channel.
I like it, man. I know other people, just to provide some little bit more context, and you tell me, disagree with any of this. Some people will start to test creative, start a meta campaign for Android, right? And then just test the creatives, doing M8 mobile app installs as well. It's a little bit easier, less of a threshold on there. And then they move the creatives. Now it doesn't always work, but then some people will also start meta campaigns in like the Philippines to test out a bunch of different creatives before they move it into the US. Now that $500, you're thinking like ROAS campaign. So these are, for those who aren't familiar, it would be more of like a purchase, like a trial start. Typically the ROAS campaigns, would you start in $500 for one country then? Like just say, pick a country, $500, throw it in there? Or no, would you try to split it?
You can merge the geos in case you have like a few like top geos that are very good in terms of revenue for you. You mm-hmm. can merge them. Normally there are like one or two countries that are like the top for the app. So you can use both because the algorithm will have like more users to target, and with a high daily budget, that's recommended, right? But yeah, I mean, as I said, I don't set up like those budgets for campaigns that are optimized by installs or by events. You need less for that. I mean, for installs, you can have insights, good insights, spending 50 per day. With events, a bit more because you need to generate enough events per day. Normally, at least 10 events per day is the recommended in order to have a efficient delivery from the campaigns, right? So it depends on the type of campaign, but the simple one, which is mobile app install, you don't need like a high daily budget.
Yeah, this is why, David, I wanted to go around the framing of this episode as stop burning cash, because you can burn a lot of freaking cash doing this. All right, Rob and Seth had the same question. What MMP would you recommend, David?
I will tell you here a funny history. Last month, I was going to sign like a referral program with one of the MMPs, and I said no. I said no because that will steal my honest opinion about MMPs, and I really enjoy about, you know, saying the good things and the bad things of the MMPs, because we are all using the same. There are only like a small group of platforms to use, and I really like to criticize them when they're doing bad things, and I really like to say good things about them as well. So right now, today, my favorite,
I'm waiting, man.
My favorite MMP is Adjust. Just because the reporting system is the best. I mean, all the options, all the columns that you can add there, the options are endless. I mean, you can report anything you want there, not only for your main KPIs, also about the scan, also about privacy, conversion rates. I mean, everything. Maybe it's because I use that more than others, but for example, AppsFlyer, I think they are doing, they're not like proceeding correctly over the last years. They are like, with the time, they are like covering more features. They are like charging their clients for using more features. And in my opinion, that's not the way, because you have to sum this cost of the MMP to your campaigns. I mean, that's a handicap that you have if you are working with an MMP, right? Yeah. If you need to pay for a single people table, then I mean, what's the purpose of having MMP if I have to pay an extra just to have a people table to analyze my campaigns? For me, it doesn't make sense. There are others that are good. Singular is a good one. There are cheaper options like Kochava, like Branch. Normally, the cheaper always means something. So don't expect the same level of support, at least if you are paying much less per month for the same solution, right? So I have clients that are using like alternative ones, like for example, Kochava or Branch, and they are useful, they are efficient, but the support is not the same than with the bigger ones, right? Because they have more people to work in the support team. And in this case, having a good support in an MMP, it's crucial. I mean, it's key to quickly detect if your app is having technical issues. So for me, that's a must. Yeah.
Here's what Seth said. Sign up for adjustment. Hey, Seth, you got to tell them David sent you, right? David Vargas sent
you. You should tell them. Maybe, I mean, I'm not signing any contract with them, but they can, like, I don't know, send some merchandising or something, you know?
Get us a free ticket, right? No, I agree. Like, you know, I have less experience in the MMPs, but what I have discovered is when I'm comparing them, I've experienced with, like, a few of them, you know, definitely Adjust and AppsFlyer. But what I did see from an ASA perspective, Adjust gives me more keyword level data and AppsFlyer stops at the ad group level. And I forget if it's campaign or ad group level, but it does stop.
What you can have the keyword level, but guess what? You have to pay
more. Okay, my bad. That's probably why I didn't see it then.
Yeah, you can get the keyword level in a feature called Raw Data Export. That's okay. The name of the feature, and with that you can pull the data from the servers in the keyword level. But yes, in the like native dashboard you don't see the keyword. That doesn't make sense, you know, because that's crucial to optimize Apple's chats campaigns. Those things are the ones that I don't understand from AppsFlyer. I guess they are doing that because they are the leader and they have been the leader of the industry for so many years. But I think now things are changing there.
I like it, man. Hey, I want to get into this. Ishmael says, if you have $5,000 or Facebook ads budget, how would you set up the campaigns in terms of number of ad sets? How many creatives on each ad sets? Good question.
In terms of assets, I think I put the ad groups that I normally set up in the initial phase, not there, but in other posts that I talk about how to approach the creatives. I think we will talk about that as well in this webinar. But basically, I start...
Three layers? Is that the slide? Okay, here. I got it.
So regarding ad groups and assets, I normally have like a fixed setup for every initial phase. I normally give freedom to the algorithm in one ad group, which is the broad one. Because if you talk to any sales representative or account manager in Google, in TikTok, in Meta, in whatever, they will tell you, hey, don't use any targeting option because our algorithm is super smart and it already knows how to target your relevant users. Well, that's not like that. It's not that easy, right? So from my experience, you can get better performances sometimes if you like narrow the audience with interest, with lookalikes. So those are like the three main options that I do in my initial setups, which is broad ad group, interest ad group, and a lookalike in case I have enough data to build the lookalike audience, right? For example, lookalike based on purchases or lookalike based on signups, for example. If you have 500, like in this example, I will use only the first two. Broad and then interest. And then with the time, I will iterate and maybe test the lookalikes in a later stage. In terms of number of creatives, although people say that 3 to 5 is the recommended one, that's something that was part of the past. Now algorithms are super smart and you can upload as many creatives as you want because the algorithm will detect super quickly which one is converting well. The thing is, the type of creative is going to determine the audience that you will target. So be sure that your assets are targeting your relevant users. If your, let's say, user persona is woman with 50 years old, then you need to create creatives that show women that are 50 years old. You cannot use like a young woman because then the content will be shown to people with this age. So normally in terms of number of assets, I would say 3 to 5 for the beginning. If you have more resources, you can add more. But since you have too many budget, I wouldn't add more than 6, for example. There is like a common rule which says, in terms of ad group, from 0 to 500, you can use 2 ad groups. I mean, 500 per day, okay? From 500 to 1,000, 3 ad groups. And then each 1,000 extra, one additional ad group. So from 1,000 to 2,000 per day, one additional ad group. 3,000, another ad group. And then within that ad group, you can add 3 to 5 creatives.
I love it. Okay. Was there anything else you want? So when you say tier three, are you saying tier three countries that you tested
this,
on?
No. Sorry. It was like, this is like the system that I normally use to be sure that all my new creatives receive traffic and I can get enough insights to decide if they are good or not for my campaigns. I know that this is not useful for everyone because this really depends on the budget that you have. But what I do is I create like 3 layers just to be sure that I isolate the new creatives in 3 different optimizations, let's say, or steps. First layer is targeting cheaper countries like India, Philippines, Thailand, Brazil, all those countries where you can generate a lot of impressions for a very low price. So you can give at least 20,000 impressions to each creative, then take the winners and the winners from that campaign and move them into a campaign which is targeting tier 2 countries. Those are countries that are not the top in terms of revenue, but they are still generating something for you. In those countries, you can either run a mobile app install campaign or a campaign optimized by events. This is going to be determined by your budget. If you have enough budget to generate 10 events per day, then go with app event optimization campaigns. If you don't have enough money, then go with mobile app installs. Because if you don't generate enough events per day, you won't exit the learning phase and your delivery will be much worse.
I like it. Hey, what are you talking about right here? So new creatives only, winners. What's BAU?
Business as usual.
Oh, okay, nice.
So basically in the last layer after taking the winners from layer 2,
yeah,
I take those winners and I use them in the final layer, which is my top geos, like the top 2 or 3 countries where you generate most of your revenue. In these campaigns, I again apply a new filter to give traffic to the new creatives. An ad group where I just put the new creatives.
Oh, interesting.
I have one ad group where I have like my usual creatives. And then if I create a new one, I isolate that creative within a different ad group with a different daily budget. So I can be sure that at least it will get impressions.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I never knew how to set it up because we did have one where the creatives were winning and the same creative was kept winning. And I would just add it to this ad group. But instead, I like what you said, add it to a new creative. You call it new creatives in the ad group? I like it.
Yeah.
Rob says, today we've broken the record for acronym usage. Yeah. Rob, I will always ask the acronyms because I'm like, what? What does that mean? I like it. And if you only had 5,000, because, you know, it's not that big of a budget for Ishmael, David, would you just start with, you know, the layer 3 and just kind of be like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have enough budget, you can focus on the tier 1 countries, but maybe you can separate for testing new creatives. You can go with mobile app install campaigns because they are cheaper, and then you put the winners into campaigns that are deeper in terms of optimization, app event optimization campaigns or value optimization campaigns.
Yeah, I like it. We'll have to have you back for a longer conversation because I think we're getting close on time. Then let's answer some questions, shall we? All right. Mohammed says, after getting positive results from Universal ROAS, what's the next step to do?
Escape. Yeah, I mean, if you are like getting positive results, if you are recovering the money, you are profitable, then you need to scale. That's easy to answer.
Scale. You mean like spend more.
Yeah,
is that what you say?
Scale. Yeah. Scale the spend, scale the numbers, scale the purchases, and scale the revenue.
I love it. And you're in BAU, business as usual.
Yeah.
Scale it.
Yeah, if you don't find a good performance after like increasing the budget, then test the same campaign but in a different channel. Maybe sometimes like splitting up the placements can help you to spend less, maintain the efficiency of the delivery, and at the same time increase your revenue.
Nurek says, TikTok How effective on app business for TikTok?
TikTok is normally cheaper for iOS, according to my experience. It's actually the cheapest channel that I've been finding for iOS over the last years, but the quality is also worse than Meta.
Mm.
Sometimes it is worth to pay a bit more per install, but in exchange of that, you get a better quality. Regarding the category you mentioned, I know that, for example, if you have an AI image app, that's not allowed to advertise. They're like capping those ads, at least in TikTok. For others, let me think about last time I ran TikTok for an app like that, results were like average. Yeah, they were average. So that's why I normally put Meta in the second place, because in terms of quality, it is usually more consistent. In TikTok, you can have situations where you like have a great CPI, like super low compared to the rest of the channels, but then you look at the retention, you look at the cost per sign up, you look at the cost per start trial, then you realize that the traffic you're receiving is crap, basically. One important thing, if you run campaigns in TikTok, don't go with the recommended placements. Just go with TikTok, because the Pangal network is... I don't know what is inside of that network.
Yeah, it's crap. Yeah. You'll find it. And it's in the setting. But I like, David, I like how you broke this up in order of like how you would run it. And this is why I love my job still. And just like, this is my recommendation as well. But, you know, like I always love hearing other people's perspective because, you know, it's just my freaking opinion. It's not. Yeah. And so I'm glad that you said the same thing, because I would probably do it in this order as well, because I do feel like Apple search ads, unlike Google ads, it's getting more expensive, but it is still like one of the best channels from an ROI perspective. Like it's still one of the best, but, and I feel like you can't scale it as much as you can maybe Meta and TikTok, but at the same time, it's a great first channel if you got some budget.
Yeah, of course there are limitations in terms of scalability in upper set chats, but if you have an MMP, upper set chats is your best shot, because it doesn't work with the scan. That's the best thing about upper set chats, right? If you don't work with a scan, you have full visibility over the whole lifetime of the user. So you can analyze the whole behavior of your iOS users. And that's something that you don't have in any other channel. That's why most of people start with upper set chats, because at least, although you have to pay a bit more, at least you can like analyze performance post-install, which is like priceless information nowadays with all the limitations that we have. Yeah. But yeah, competition is of course higher because people are spending more there now. I mean, that was like a smart move from Apple, right? Okay, let's introduce the scan, and then everyone is spending opposite chance.
And it's one spot. You get one spot. Maybe there's more placements. Everybody's talking about it right now. There might be more placements opening, but it's just really one spot right now. Maybe Apple will open that up. All right. I know if there's a few more questions, I do want to talk about Scan 4. How are you on time, David? I can go over a little bit, but like, how are you on time?
No, all good. All good. Okay. I'm fine. Right.
Well, then let's keep it business as usual, BAU. And then let's get into the app audit side of things. And let's start every app audit with some dad jokes. All right, my friend, I will let you go first. If you want to go first, then I can go first too. But would you want to go first, or do you want me to go first for this dad joke?
Mine's, I mean, I have one, but it's really bad. I mean, I don't want to tell that. People are going to hate me, you know?
Okay. Well, I'm ready. Don't worry. They love you.
Okay. You know why the jokes in the elevators are so good and classy?
Why?
Because they work on so many levels.
I like it. Okay. All right. I got one for you, David. What do you call a sleepy relative? What do you call a sleepy relative?
I don't know.
It's a napkin. There you go. Put S if you thought my joke was better, and then put D if you thought David's joke was better. And we'll play for some drinks when we finally get together this year, hopefully. All right. And if you want us to look, you like that one? Okay.
Okay. That was good. Yeah. Better than mine for sure.
If look, I'm always looking for these things. So this is what I do deep week in and week out. If you want us to take a look at your app in a future live stream, just go to appmasters.com/audit, appmasters.com/audit. We got some. Thank you for, oh my God, look at this. David, you like my joke, but everybody's voting for you, bro. Like, this is you traitors, all you traitors in there. All right, let's take a look at Sammy in there. So Sammy wants help with organic install, user retention, and ad placement. Okay. He's got pretty decent downloads, 100,000. Anything on the organic side that you're seeing, David?
Okay. 4.0 reviews. You are in the limit of the psychological barrier. If you go down of 4 stars, you are fucked. I mean, there is no way to get a good conversion rate if you have less than 4 stars, because that barrier works as a psychological barrier for the users. Oh. Everything that is below 4 stars will have a much worse conversion rate than what you all the apps that are above 4 stars.
I see.
Then, I mean, I will have to research about the keywords, but according to my experience, you don't need to repeat the same keyword in the title.
Yeah, downloaded, downloader, and download.
Yeah. The title is the most important element in terms of Apple ASO, in terms of App Store optimization. But now it's not like before, you know, those tricks of repeating keywords too many times, like increasing your density. That's something that worked in the past, but not now, in my opinion. The algorithm is now much smarter, and you don't need to do those things. You can like introduce other good keywords that still are talking about the main USP of your app.
David, have you seen anything with video on Google Play? Do you recommend having video on Google Play? It has to be on YouTube for those who are trying to add video onto you Google Play, but what is your experience with video on Google Play?
That's something that I normally don't implement at the beginning. The videos is something that after achieving like a decent conversion rate for my app page, I start to think about introducing a video. And one thing that worked for me better over the last years is to use horizontal screens, because now the screenshots are like preview in the list of apps. If you look, I mean, if you type on the Play Store downloader, you will get a list of apps, right? And then on each placement, you will have a preview of the screenshots. But if you use portrait screenshots, they don't look well because they are too small. So if you go with landscape screenshots, the text is bigger and the user doesn't need to open the app page to read the screenshot, to read the headlines.
Would you, and you're saying this for iOS and Google Play, like the horizontal screenshots?
Yeah.
Okay.
That happens in both.
All right. So this didn't come up. I was trying to think through like if all these came up, Twitter video download. Because I was thinking from an ASO perspective of this other screen. Okay. So here's what I think too. I'll add on my piece. Like, I do think that I did some keyword research. I know this is an iPhone, but they're pretty much the same. And what I did was I picked out this app because it only had, or this app, this only had 1,000 ratings, where these had like tens of thousands of ratings. And I do keyword research. And assuming, Sammy, you're not driving any type of like ads and you're just purely relying on ASO, and I would try to go a little bit more niche. So like Twitter video download, or even video saver, it might be a little bit less competitive. And then you could see all these other languages that people are searching for that have pretty good traffic in the US, by the way. And so think about ways that you can come up with different terms, because video downloader is the primary keyword, but it's also going to be the most competitive. So I like to be in the niche. And typically for me, David, I like to be somewhere around the 30s range. I know every tool is different. For me, AppRadar tends to have a better data search traffic score when it comes to split metrics now, when it comes to actual like Google Play search traffic. I found that they have a little bit more accuracy than some of the other tools. I've only compared them in Mobile Action, by the way, so don't believe me.
I've been using all of the ASO tools, Mobile Action, AppRadar, of course, and AppTweak as well.
Yep.
For me, UpTweak is the most pessimistic one in terms of search volume, I would say.
Mm.
Of course, I use like more UpRadar because I've been working there for 3 years. And in general, it worked well for me in terms like, okay, I'm like using those keywords and those keywords really have traffic because then in the Play console, I could see the search terms.
That's
like
what I see too.
Producing some installs. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. And also, yeah, if you are not running campaigns, I will target like medium competitive keywords. Like I will focus on long tail keywords that still have decent traffic if you really want to like increase the organic performance.
I like it. Russ says, thanks for your sharing such useful info, Dave. David, could I ask you, how did you learn ASO? Would you recommend something specific? While I pull up,
yes, you can watch Steve's channel. That's how I started. Yeah, it's
Russ is a plant. Cool. Okay, thank you, Russ. He's a plant, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
it's the truth. I started with Steve. I mean, back in my days, there were not articles about ASO, just a few of them. So it was more with trial and error, like. How I learned, right? I had the opportunity of working on an app company that gave me freedom to test different things. But now there are like a lot of documentation about that, and there are like webinars, and there are like a lot of YouTube videos. But I would say follow the same path than me and start to watch all videos from Steve because they are really great. Yeah,
I'm going. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. From the onboarding experience, anything you want to highlight here? I know you were so here. They're asking for permissions. Do you want to exit the or continue? I want to know. So they're asking for permissions. I gave them permissions, and then they're showing me how to do it.
Yeah, here. I mean, I understand that you are monetizing through ads.
Yeah,
but introducing banners in the very beginning of your onboarding experience. Is negative in most of the cases, at least according to my experience.
Yeah,
you can start to throw the ads after at least giving enough time to the user to read all the screenshots about the features that you are offering to them. Because if not, the user can feel that you just want to, milk them. Yeah. So that will be one of my advices here. Then I don't know if you're using free trial. But if not, I really recommend testing a free trial because once the user starts a free trial, his intention is much higher than the user that is not like purchasing that. I mean, the problem with not using the free trial is that you are giving like a binary option. It's yes or no. With the free trial, you still have like a medium option and you still have a chance of convincing them that your app is going to cover all the needs that they have to that they are like, looking for, right? Because if they are using your app, it's because they really need to like download videos in this case. So offering the free trial in the monthly or the weekly, I don't know if you have, no, only by yearly.
They have monthly, yearly. What I would do is try out weekly and then maybe monthly, but the weekly would be 99 cents and then no trial and then yearly $6.99 with maybe a 3-day trial and then ship it there. I do think that weekly, I don't know how you feel, David, but I feel like the yearly, if that's the optimal plan that the users want on, just put it right here. Like just give it that. And what I did test too with one of my apps was like, and I did see most people buying yearly. I made lifetime like a dollar more. And I wanted to see what people would buy. And people were still buying the cheaper yearly. So it was like $6.99. And then one more dollar would get you lifetime. And I wanted to see if people would buy lifetime, but unfortunately it didn't happen for my app. So if there's no cost per user cost, because you're only charging $7 a year, then maybe think about like that decoy pricing weekly, yearly, and then for $6.99 or $7.99 lifetime and see what happens to that.
Yeah, that's a good one. You can also have like, yeah.
Oh my God. So don't put that. The main button says continue for free. Like, come on. That's not good.
I think I didn't see that, but
yeah, I mean, I had it on there, but I just didn't think. And look, I think it's better to look, in my opinion, if I'm going to download a video, it's probably better to show me this stuff first. And then after I hit download, then go ahead and show me an ad. Kind of makes sense for me. So,
I mean, rewarded videos or interstitials, the interstitials are the most annoying format. That's for sure, because you cannot skip them. So I would rather use more rewarded in different placements than like annoying the users with interstitials. Regarding the tires, one thing that worked well for me was about introducing small text with the cost per day. Like, okay, if you go with the yearly, the cost per day is way lower than if you go with the by yearly or the monthly, because the user is like, okay, this per day is nothing for me, right? I'm like more willing to pay for that. That worked well for me in some past experiences, so I will also give a try to that.
I like it. And yeah, by the way, this is the continue plan. This is free. Like, there's already an X here. Don't make it that obvious. Don't make it that easy. I had one client where it was free, monthly, yearly. Once we moved the free, we like doubled the revenues. Like, it was that easy. Everything else was the same. We just had free, monthly, yearly, and then just moved the free, and then the revenues doubled. So don't make it that easy. All right. Good luck, Sammy. Keep us posted. We got some questions from Igor. He says, David, how big can we scale our app just with ASA? Can we hit top 100 health and fitness from just ASA?
Well, the fitness category is quite competitive. I mean, it depends on your budget, right? If you have enough money to throw in APSA chats, then yes, because there are a lot of keywords with high volume in that category. So until you reach the point of, you know, milking the algorithm to the maximum, you have to spend quite a lot in that category, according to my experience.
Same too. And I think it'd be a blended approach with Meta or even TikTok to get that. Do ASA still, because it helps. But at the same time, like, I think the most we were spending like $20,000 a week for one client. I think it was 10, maybe it was 10. I don't remember. But anyways, we're spending pretty good money on ASA, but then we were spending it everywhere. It wasn't just like US, it was just worldwide on that. Okay. Let's talk about Scam 4.0 real quick, and then we'll do one more app audit and we'll call it a day. So what are your most recent findings on Scam 4.0?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I posted like the last status of my first test. I think I was the first guy sharing my experience with Scam 4.0, because Google was the first channel to receive a Scam 4.0 postbacks, right? So I wanted to test if the number of signals was already enough to scale your performance in Google Ads for iOS. But the reality is that I think we have to wait a bit more because during the first week, I was getting like a much higher cost per install than in TikTok, also than in Meta. And that high cost per install was forcing me to pay or to increase my daily budget too much in order to reach the privacy threshold. With Scam 4.0, the necessary installs per day are lower, apparently. But according to my previous test, which was like, at the beginning of February, you really need to put like more or less the same amount of money, because not all the postbacks are containing Scam 4.0 information. Most of them are still 3.0. So that's why I believe that we have to wait until the threshold of installs is lower, so you don't have to commit like a high daily budget to start with, right? Then, as you know, Google was like modeling like the installs and the conversions that you have. That's what I explained before. And during the first week, the modeling was really horrible. I was having like, for example, in Google Ads, I was having like 100 installs, and in a scan, I was having like 20. Like, it's a huge difference. Google was like modeling much more than it can, and that's a problem because I don't believe that the companies will perform that well in Google, right? So in general, it was like a bad experience. The null rate was also high, which means that I was not achieving, like reaching the privacy threshold, and I was not seeing all the post-install events. So in general, bad experience. I know that Meta is starting to receive Scan 4.0 postbacks, but I checked it today, this morning, and I still don't see anything. And I have one campaign there. Be careful with a Scan because by default, Meta is using the modeling methodology, the aggregated event measurement. So be careful once you set up the campaign.
I like it. Anything else you want to cover in there?
No, I would say, well, as Lucas Moscon said here, don't make your Scan schema too complicated. Because it's a waste of time and money. Just focus on the simpler events. Try to study the first postback. I mean, try to generate as many signals as you can in the first postback, because the second and the third ones are still limited, and that's the best window, the best shot you have to see if the campaign is performing at the level that you need to achieve profitability. And focus on the easier events. I mean, if your focus is the purchases, because you believe that your app is already performing well, your conversion rates are already good enough, then focus on that. Don't add like a bunch of events that you are not looking at, right? Try to keep it simple, basically.
Like it. Okay, let's go quickly. Can go quickly here. Rob says, David, you had a higher CPI because of the money was going towards Super Bowl ads. Harder to compete. I don't know. This is theory. And then Russ says, how effective are Instagram ads from your experience?
If you have UGC content, well, I will answer the second one first. If you have UGC content, like the ads that are created by actor and actresses, you know, talking and showing the app at the same time, Instagram Reels is the best plus placement for that, and you will get a really good performance. If your targeted audience is older, then I don't recommend Instagram. I recommend Facebook. If you use banners, static banners, the algorithm will automatically target those users, because UGC content is something that young people are like consuming, but others are not. And regarding the first question, my test was done in Europe, so it was not related to the Super Bowl. I mean, here in Europe, okay, we are not like super big fans of that.
I like it. That's a strong off. Hey, Steve, my question is how to optimize targeting and ad creatives within Apple Search Ads to effectively attract and retain users for my gaming apps. Try custom product pages. You know, if your main thing isn't going, try if it's a game. I've seen David, you know, Phil had just agreed, but I've seen videos work pretty well for games. And so try custom product pages. They don't always work, but if you're seeing like low retention off of Apple search ads, you shouldn't. They're pretty good. Then try out different custom product pages. Because sometimes, David, what we've seen on our end is when we have a custom product page, it actually helps us spend on the keywords that weren't spending when we like really focus on that particular keyword. But don't go crazy, because I've gone crazy and it doesn't always work very well.
No. True. Doesn't totally agree with you. One thing that people are not testing too enough is the custom product pages, but in Meta instead of Apple Suggests. Because in Meta, normally your creative is focusing on one concept, on one idea. This is, I mean, basically your video is talking about one specific feature of your app, right? So if you create a CPP for that feature, you can increase the conversion rate and decrease the CPI. So I will give a shot to the CPPs in Meta if and when you have like the time and the resources. But yeah, don't go crazy with that, because the impact is just limited.
I like how the audience is still here, so we're not boring them. All right, let's get into the second round. David, you won the first round, so I owe you something at this point. I got to try to catch up. You got one more joke in you?
No, I don't have more.
Okay. Dang it. You're like, I'm out with one. Okay, no problem. We're short on time. Anyways, let's get into Rosen's app. Rosen, I think it's a he, it could be she, I'm not sure. But anyways, he's got a motivation. I'm going to say he for now, but he's got a motivational quote app. That's what it sounds like. Called it Espresso, wise words to start your day. Needs help with downloads, ASO, and app idea. Okay, from an ASO perspective, you seen anything?
Let me see. Well, the carousel screenshots, the third and the fourth,
yep,
are too empty, in my opinion. Okay. You have like a lot of space to use that. Normally, I like using social proof and trust builder elements in case you have. The first and the second screenshot are showing the same phone mockup. I don't recommend that. I recommend like using different mockups, different content, because if not, like you are not stimulating the user with different stimulus, right? So yeah, that will be the main things that I can see quickly on the app page.
I like it. Yeah, I would add the same thing. I think leading with the main, if it's motivation or joy, whatever it is, love quotes, then lead with that. I really like these screenshots, David, where it can kind of go, hey, unlimited access to world's best workouts, and they have the different type of workouts. And so you have all these things, love, inspirational, philosophy, humor, like lead, put those screenshots in here, Rosen, as well. That if you don't have social proof, because you just started right now, you have no reviews in the US, but I think this person's in BG, what is that, Belgium, maybe, potentially. But so I would try to, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, the number of quotes that you have could be social proof as well. So lean into that. And then I have an app like this. What I try to do is, so without giving away my secrets from an ASO and the keywords I'm going after, is like one of my favorite tools to use for keyword research is AppFollow. And I just try to find, like, pick the main keyword that you want to go after. And then, like what Dave and I already said, find a more niche keyword. Like, stop going after the same freaking keywords that these guys are going after, because you're never going to beat them unless you just outspend them. And so try to find something like this. Look, Inspire. It's got 15 ratings. I'm going to pick this little eye icon, and then I'm going to find some keywords that maybe they're not focused on. And so that's how I like to find these keywords. And I have the same type of app, and I found some pretty decent keywords that were ranking pretty well for. So be more in the niche is what I would say. All right, let's go into the app real quick, David, and then we'll call it a day. All right. Espresso. Welcome to Espresso. Okay. Oh, gosh. Rosen, this is such bad UI, bro. Like, it's so small.
Yeah, it's very small, yeah. And also the images are so simple. You can do way better there. You are just using like images from a free bank of images. So try to edit them a bit more.
Yeah, where's your paywall? Did you not trying to make money off of this? I thought there's no thing.
There's no paywall?
Let's see. Nope. Okay, no paywall. Good. Thank you for making a free app, but like, put a paywall, man. No, just trying to do it. I don't mind the ads, but definitely put a paywall. Like, some people will pay you, and we put a paywall. We found the right keyword, went from making no money to now making like $1,000 all organically from our motivational app. So, you know, not too bad. All right, what's the name of the tool? I use appfollow.io, appfollow.io to do the keyword research. All right. All right, David. Anything I missed that you want to make sure we covered? I know we prepared a lot. We only got through a few of it. We'll have you back on. But anything I missed that you want to make sure we say goodbye to before we say goodbye?
I mean, it was a great experience. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah. I know that we may forget some points, but in general, I think we covered most of the topics. I hope that everyone enjoyed the conversation and the topics we discussed. And yeah, again, thank you guys for your time, for being here. I hope you enjoy the weekend. And if you are coming to Spain, let me know. Also, if you have any question, add me on LinkedIn and feel free to ask whatever, because I normally have some time to answer like quick questions. So feel free, guys.
Yeah. David's a great follow. Just look up David Vargas on LinkedIn, or click on the YouTube description. His LinkedIn is already put on there. Tell him you heard him on this podcast, and I'll link up some of the content that he posted right here into the show notes as well that highlights it. And where you guys, somebody asked, how can I download it? Go to David's profile, go follow him, and then you can save this image just like I did too. So that's a great way. Great. And he shares some amazing content on LinkedIn. So he's a great follow as well. Connect with him there as well. All right, David, they loved it. Rob says, lots of homework to do. Thank you, David. And then great show from Top Cat. Luis says, thank you, David and Steve. It was kind of dense for a newbie like me, but a few useful. We're trying to do that. And then Igor says, thank you, David and Steve. All right, guys. Next week, it's just going to be me and my teammate of mine, Yash. We're going to come on. We're going to answer all your ASO questions, all your ASA questions. What's really working today? So we're going to really, it's just sort of like ask me anything type of thing. And I know I try to do that every month. And then we can share some of the things that have been working on our apps as well as I'm trying to grow that side of the business. Thank you, David, my man. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. And yeah, see you in the next one. have a nice weekend, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, look at everybody's here. All right. Thank you guys for watching. I'll see you every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And if you don't want to watch us on video, you should, because we're very handsome guys. Well, you can check out the podcast that goes live on Monday, every Monday. So the audio only goes there as well. All right. That's it. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Tired of overpaying for app store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.